Take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Matthew, the first chapter of the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew and we're going to be in the book of Romans in chapter 3. So, book of Matthew chapter 1, the book of Romans chapter 3. Last week I preached the first part of this message of why we celebrate and why we celebrate Christmas, and Kirill's already mentioned it in the introduction, is we celebrate Christmas because Christ came. And we're going to look at that again this morning. Matthew chapter 1, if you can and are able, please stand for the reading of God's Word, beginning in verse 18. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Apostle Matthew records in verse 18, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'See, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God is with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we worship together this morning, we just pray that you will give us clarity of why you come on this earth. And we just ask that you give us a fresh and new sense of wonder and awe that the Creator of the universe could be held, it could be touched, stepped into time from eternity. And dear Lord, help us to realize this fact. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll look at verses 21 through 24 in just a moment. But one of the Christmas carols that we always sing is, "O come, all ye faithful," right? Joyful and triumphant. O come, O come, O come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, who is Christ the Lord. Right? We sing that and we talk about joy, we talk about peace, we talk about hope. But I got to thinking about all the people who don't celebrate this time. And I'm not even talking about people who are pagan or don't believe in God or atheists. I'm just talking about people who maybe have a Christian belief, but truthfully don't really celebrate Christmas because, as Kirill said, they're worried about the gifts, they're worried about the get-togethers, they're worried about the parties, they're worried about this, they're worried about that, all of which are good things. But they've lost the joy and wonder of the season. They've lost the joy and wonder of what it means for Christ to step into the world. There's actually a clinically proven disease, if you will, I guess you can call it a disease called holiday sadness. This depression is marked by stress, anxiety, low mood, irritability, fatigue, loneliness, lack or change in sleep, lack and change in appetite. It's known widely as a recognized phenomenon in the clinical circles, and it's the holiday sadness syndrome. And then you have the holiday syndrome, which was coined by psychoanalyst James Cottrell. It's the psychological reaction during the holiday season, and it's usually tied, the way he has described it, to unresolved childhood issues. So these two syndromes, if you will, are designated in clinical circles to be sadness or syndromes about the holidays, of reactions to the holidays. And then, of course, you have the seasonal affective disorder that you've heard about, SAD, which is because of the change in season and the reduced sunlight and the disruption of the circadian rhythms and all of that. So all of these things are how the world tries to explain the way they feel when they celebrate, quote unquote, this season, or why they don't celebrate this season, because, oh, I suffer from this clinical syndrome, or I have unresolved issues from my childhood. But as we've already seen, the bigger issue is something much, much deeper. So turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, look in verse 21. It says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested to by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the bigger issue, and the reason that psychologists and clinical professionals designate this time of sadness and the syndromes or whatever, is because people are having to deal with the actual issue. They're confronted with the actual issue of their sin. When we talk about Christ stepping in from eternity into time and space, they recognize this chasm in their own being that they have. And that sin chasm that we all have is separation from the person and God. And this separation leads to joylessness, despite knowing the gospel's promises. Romans 1 talks about that. A professor at Southeastern Seminary, Walter Strickland, is also the co-host of the White Horse Inn podcast. He puts it this way: sin is an illegitimate means to try to meet a legitimate need. Sin is an illegitimate means to try to meet a legitimate need. Basically, what Dr. Strickland is saying is, we have these issues, we have these feelings during this time when we try to fill our life with sin, which basically is trying to replace God in our own hearts, in our own minds, right? And Paul talks about this in Romans. He talks about how we, in the law, were dead in our trespasses and sin, and it makes us feel, it makes us sense, it makes us feel hopeless and joyless, and it affects our mood because we're trying to fill our lives with someone other than Christ. Psalm 32 verses 3 and 4 puts it this way: when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer heat. When we don't deal with our sin, when we don't turn our sin over to God, then we are groaning in our spirit. And that's why people react the way they react during this time, because Christmas makes them confront the fact that we're sinners. And back in Romans chapter 3, we see that in verse 22, we are saved by faith. Verse 22 says, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And see, again, we are saved by faith, faith in Christ. And we are able then to have joy, have peace, have hope, have love. 2 Timothy chapter 2 even tells us that it's not the amount of our faith, it's not the size of our faith, it's actually who we have faith in, right? 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Is it because of us? No. It says, for he cannot deny himself. So we see here that faith in Christ, the Christ who came into the world during Christmas time, quote unquote, while we celebrate during the Advent time, he didn't actually come during Christmas. We don't know exactly when Christ was born. Don't send me emails saying, oh, you said Christmas time. More than likely, he wasn't born on December 25th, I'm just saying. But we want to celebrate the Advent, the coming of Christ, the coming of Jesus the first time, because we are looking forward as Christians to the next time, the second coming. Look in verse 24 of Romans chapter 3. Not only are we saved by faith, we are saved by grace. Verse 24. Those who believe in Christ, those who have faith in Christ, are justified freely. How? By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redemption here carries the meaning of justification being accomplished, right? So justification is a big theological word, basically means being saved from something, being saved from God's wrath in this case, because God has every right to punish us because of our sins. For verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is not a single one of us who has not sinned or will not sin. We are born with sin because of our natural state. But this redemption by God's grace means that when you put faith in Christ, that justification is accomplished. But then it also carries the notation that sanctification is ongoing. That's why as we get together and as we celebrate together and as we worship together, this ongoing sanctification points us back to Jesus as we walk along beside each other. There's reasons why Christians throughout all of church history want to get together face to face. We walk beside each other, admonishing one another, praying for one another, singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with one another to help each other along the pathway. Our justification in Christ is secure when we believe in him, but our sanctification is ongoing. Because I don't know about you, as you sit there all pious and you look nice and you don't want to admit, oh, you're a sinner. Guess what? I'm a sinner. You are too. But we need each other to help point us to Christ Jesus. So we have justification accomplished. We have sanctification ongoing. But then there's something else. There's glorification that awaits us. Glorification that awaits us. Just like Jesus came into this world as promised. As we read in Matthew, the things that were noted by the prophet was fulfilled when he came the first time. He's coming again. So we are saved in this complete redemption of justification, sanctification, and glorification. Christmas demonstrates not only that we have received pardon from the penalty and judgment of our sin. Christmas demonstrates that God loves us so much that we can be adopted as children, as his children. Now, I don't know if you've ever actually thought about adoption, but a lot of times in other parts of the world, adoption is even more beautiful than it is here in the United States. Why do I say that? Because in other countries, when children are adopted, that means they're off the streets. That means they have a hot meal. That means they never will face the cold again. And so we kind of lose sight of that because of the grace and the blessings that God has given us here in the United States. But when we are adopted, it's not only that our justification is received and our sanctification is ongoing and our glorification awaits, it means that God is taking care of us. Because the reason we celebrate Advent is because of him. The reason we celebrate his incarnation is because of him. If you allow me to quote Sam Alberry, who's a pastor and also a podcaster, he changes the words of O Come All Ye Faithful just a little bit. And I'd like to read what he says. O come, all ye faithless, joyless, and defeated. O come ye to Bethlehem. Christmas is for the weary, for the messed up, for the broken. If your life isn't Instagrammable, Christmas is for you. Let me read that again. O come, all ye faithless, joyless, and defeated. O come ye to Bethlehem. Christmas is for the weary, for the messed up, for the broken. If your life isn't Instagrammable, Christmas is for you. And I think so many times we lose sight of what Christ has done at Christmas because we see it as the gifts and we call him the gift, and rightly so. But remember, without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no peace. Without Christ, there is no joy. And truthfully, without Jesus, there is no love. But during that season, when Christ stepped into the world and the shepherds came to worship him, and a few years later, the wise men came to bring him gifts, that means that we have in Christ a great hope. That means that with Jesus, we have perfect peace. With Jesus, we have everlasting joy. And with Jesus, we have eternal love with the Father. Why do we celebrate? That's why we celebrate. Let's pray. Dear Lord, there may be someone here this morning who hasn't thought about Christmas in these terms before. There may be some here who has lost the joy and the wonder and the peace and the love of Christmas. Dear Lord, refresh that in our hearts even now. And Heavenly Father, the altar will be open if anyone needs to come and pray. If there's someone that may be laid on the hearts of someone here who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, they can come and pray. And if there's someone here who's never experienced what you did on the cross for us and put their faith in you, I pray that even now they will come and talk to me, talk to one of the other elders about their eternal salvation through Christ. We want to give you all the honor and the glory during this time. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.